Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in the studio, yes, he's got his gel back, the producer, Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello. Your friend and ours, sporting ball cap, Steve Kalaszewski.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day, Steve. Welcome to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT.
Man, and he can spell too.
Man, listen, I passed the second grade.
Uh-oh. Look out.
We have a program for you today. We're going to talk about atheists that are erecting monuments. We're also going to talk about who is the most sung songwriter in the world. This may surprise you. This turmoil in Egypt. Well, let me tell you, God's in control. God has a plan. God is answering prayer. We can't wait to share with you some more updates. Wow. We want to welcome all of our VFN Radio listeners that are joining us all across the world. We want to give a shout out to all of our friends on Facebook. We are just so excited that you have joined them in a part of this conversation. I mean, all over the world, Philippines, India, I just can't even list all the countries, really. I mean, they're just from everywhere. And it's just, yeah. It is so
amazing.
I'm not even going to attempt. I just stopped. Forgive me.
We don't have enough time.
But, you know, we really don't. I mean, to be honest with you, we really, really don't, because it's just so encouraging when you go to our page and you see folks from all over the world and leaving comments and just are part of the conversation. It's just wonderful. And we thank you, because we're doing this together. Mm-hmm. We're doing this together. But, you know, Pat, we have a distinguished member. I mean, I knew that you knew this, and Chris, we have a distinguished member of the armed forces, you know, a veteran among us.
Yes.
You know, and we're proud. Listen,
of these United States.
These United States of America, where these colors don't run. You know what I'm talking about?
That's right.
These colors, they don't run.
That's right.
And we're celebrating this week. I mean, listen, I know it's Independence Day, July the 4th, but you know, this week we're celebrating the whole week. You know, this is our country. Mm-hmm. We're excited about it. And, you know, on the radio today, we have a veteran, one who served our country as a brave warrior, a Marine. I mean, this is the tip of the spear.
Yes.
The tip of the spear. When you want the job done, you call the Marines.
That's right.
Listen, it's the few and the brave. And all they need is just a few what? All they need is a few good...
You good men.
You good men, that's it. That's all you need when you're in the Marines.
That's right.
And on the radio today, Chris, with us, you may not know this, but Steve Kalaszewski served in Iraq. How many tours was it?
Two. Oh, my goodness.
That means he went a second time.
Right.
And he braved. I mean, he weathered the heat.
Yeah.
I mean, people complain about heat here. When you're in the desert, you got camo, you've got, you know, load it down. I mean, we're bragging about him here. He's humble. He's sitting over there just listening to Steve. But we're going to talk about you today.
Okay.
And we want to thank you for your service.
Yes.
I mean, this guy would go with 7 bottles of water. 7 bottles of water and come back just
bone dry.
Carrying just, the, you know, the ammo, the stuff, the helmet. The, you know, I went to the Army-Navy store this weekend. Took my boys. Took Pat's son out there. And we'd spend an hour. I mean, an hour just looking around. Eddie was with us. We tried on these hats, and we put on some of that body armor stuff you were talking about. Man, that thing is heavy.
Yeah.
I can't believe you can't. How many miles would you go on tour? Would you walk with that stuff?
Wouldn't really go on miles. You just go for hours until pretty much your water's out.
And how many hours would you walk with that on any given day? I mean, I don't expect you to give me details.
I mean, just one patrol anywhere from like 6 to 10 hours.
6 to 10 hours, Pat. One patrol, Chris, with all this heavy stuff and just, I mean.
6 hours, yeah.
6 hours.
Wow. Straight.
Yeah. Just going house to house, you know. Heaven forbid you don't get contact on it, because if you're out of water, you better just push through it.
That's it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's pretty intense.
That is.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate everything that the military does. I tell you, man, I don't know. You know, I've seen the movies. You know, I get inspired, and then when I look at that training, I go, I don't know if I can take this hill. I can't take the hill in my lawn, front lawn. I don't know if I can take this hill right here. I'm working to get up my driveway. Have you seen my driveway?
That's a serious driveway. You seen the driveway?
Oh, that's no joke. Ooh, that's no joke.
So maybe I could start training on the driveway.
There you
go. Maybe I could be part of the few, the proud, and the brave. But I know that, Steve, you were, you know, saw some combat and some intense training nonetheless. I mean, the training has to be the most fiercest. We're talking about the Marines.
Yeah.
We're talking about the tip of the spear. Semper Fi. I mean, you know, hoorah! This is, you know, we're talking about the men.
Right.
And I know that you know, you're one tough guy, and I can appreciate that. I really, really can appreciate that. But fellas, I don't know if you noticed what happened this morning in the studio. I don't know if you were aware, but somehow.
I had a feeling there was something.
Somehow, you know. When you're in the South and you got bugs and stuff, you get rodents that come in, you know.
It just happens.
It just as part of
you
just.
You can't avoid it.
You can't avoid it.
Okay,
it
clean
just
you
happens.
Are.
Nah, you get those things. They come in. They're a nuisance. You get them out.
You just squash them.
You squash them. Yeah.
Dispose them.
Get rid of them. You know, they're a nuisance.
Yeah.
Our friend. Mm-hmm. The one that we just were sharing about. I don't want to call him up by name right now, but you know. He notices a small, tiny
creature.
I can't even say rodent. Let's just say
a roach.
Insect.
It was a roach.
A little roach.
A little tiny thing.
A little tiny thing. And I just hear this pitch, this high pitch. I go, wait, what happened here? What?
A high pitch?
Yes, it's a squeal.
It was pretty hot.
Ear-piercing squeal.
So the Mets, they got this new pitcher, like a high pitch. Like, is that where we're going?
We're bringing this back here. And he says, look, there is a bug in here.
There's a difference between a bug and a roach.
And I said, well, get rid of it. Get rid of it. He said, I'm not touching that. I said, Steve, what do you mean you're not touching that? I'm expecting you to eat it because you're a Marine.
You are a Marine.
A Marine. I'm expecting you to eat it. You know, like impress me, like, you know? He said, this is fiber. This is what we ate out there in the combat zone. But fellas, I
did squash it, though. I did squash it.
Did you get it on you?
I did kill it.
Did you need some encouragement for that? Did you?
You know, there is a wisdom in much counsel. I was open to some encouragement and some direction. So I humbled myself before the roach.
Man.
Did you need therapy afterward?
Did not need therapy.
Okay.
I'm divulging secrets right now.
I did not need therapy.
I'm divulging secrets right now. I'm just full disclosure right now. I'm just going for it. But, you know, all the enemies need, man, is a bag of roaches. They forget bullets. All they got to do is throw roaches at him and he's running around. I mean, what?
I did kill the roach, though. I just want to make you know. But there was a significant portion of that that John did leave out.
What? Please.
The roach was in my coffee.
It was in the little ground thing. we didn't expect you to drink it. I mean, I thought you would have ate it because, like I said, we talked about it. You're a Marine.
Well, for future instances, when I see a roach, I'll make sure that I eat it in front of
no,
you.
No, you don't have to eat it. That's gross. That's gross. But I just thought, you know. You guys were survival mode, you know. Listen, I've watched the programs. I've watched reality TV, and I've seen the wilderness. I've seen the training, you know. I've seen the stuff.
That's reality.
Yeah. Yeah, it was probably a hamburger they cooked up. Oh,
yeah, man, yeah.
But I just thought you would dispose of that and not,
yeah,
not, you know. But I'm glad you did. I'm
thank
glad.
Thank you for showing us how it's done.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you for taking the enemy combatant out. I mean,
I'm glad I could be there for you.
Oh, you gotta love him. You gotta love him. Well, you know, in God's news behind the news, I know Steve is happy that we're moving along on. Here. I don't know if you knew this, guys, but there has been a monument that has been erected, if you will, by the atheists. It's happened in Florida, and Huffington Post is reporting that in Stark, Florida, a group of atheists unveiled a monument to their non-belief in God on Saturday to sit alongside a granite slab that lists the Ten Commandments in front of the Bradford County Courthouse. Now, this is the first monument of this type. It hasn't been done, in my understanding, anywhere across the country. Wow. And it's the first one to happen in Florida. Mm. And, of course, there was some controversy about it and, you know, back and forth. And basically what... There's a New Jersey-based group that was working on this, and they wanted the Ten Commandments removed, and since they couldn't have the Ten Commandments removed, then they petitioned to be able to establish their own monument there. And, you know, you hear a lot of people, because there's a lot of, you know, there was protests, or 200 people attended, and all this type of stuff, and, you know, the thing about that is, you know, if a person's an atheist, and they don't believe in God, well, it's an opportunity to win them to God.
You know,
they they just don't know. But what could become more grievous, you know, I think it's a grievance, is to profess the Ten Commandments and say that they're the most important things and we're honored to have them and say that we believe that there is a God, but not to live a life that proves what we say we believe. And I just think in America, and believers of the church alike, I think that, listen, we need to get to the point where we're not protesting, you know, protesting over wrong things. You know what I mean? It's like, it's more important that the Ten Commandments are in our heart than they are on a block somewhere for the world to see.
Yeah.
It's more important that they're in our own hearts so we can observe them, even in our own homes. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was interesting. They made news, and... like I said, people are discussing and talking about it, but I think the emphasis these days is it's going to be the love of God. It's going to be sharing acts of kindness, and it's not so much what you say. It's more about what you do. I mean, Francis Assisi, and I love this quote. He is quoted as saying, "Preach the gospel all the time, but when necessary, use words."
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're living in a day and age now more than ever. You know, we need to live the life. You need to not go by what you call yourself, but by who you are.
Right.
And let your fruit speak for you.
Yeah, it's huge, because as you think about, you have a lot of people that are protesting the Ten Commandments coming down, or the Ten Commandments not being upheld, but it's the very ones that don't know the Ten Commandments. It's the very ones that don't live the Ten Commandments. And our biggest witness can be ones that are closest to us, whether it's our coworkers, whether it's our family, our children, our spouses. And it's that influence that we have to focus on. It's just that life that we live, because the life that we live is always going to speak louder, volumes louder than the words that we say.
Mm-hmm. Let the main thing be the main thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, the main thing is not what you say.
Yeah.
The main thing is what you do. I mean, Jesus himself said, you will know them by their fruit. And really, that is a legitimate way to identify yourself and others. It's okay to have others listen. You can tell people, don't follow what I just say. Look at what I do. Look what I do.
Mm-hmm.
This is what Jesus says. And it's the same thing we can do with others. And I think that at this point, this stage in the game, let's not worry about monuments, but let's worry about what is in our heart and in our lives and what we're really displaying, and the love of Christ. It's going to take the love of God to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, it's going to take the love of God, not an argument, because you know, intellectual arguments don't win.
Yeah,
that right. At the end, it's over.
And it's even in the Word of God that He says our greatest witness is our love, and it's the love that we have for one another, because love is a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Jesus even says just that at the end of the age, the love of most is going to grow cold, and you have to choose to love people when they love you the least. And that's what's going to win people over, because people are going to notice how most people respond. Most people respond selfishly or argumentative or causing division and strife, like we've been talking about. But when you take that opportunity to love somebody and overlook an offense or whatever the case might be, that's our greatest witness, right, is that choice of love.
Absolutely. And at the end of the day, it's not going to be a drag out argument. If someone is won by an argument, that's a scary thing, because that means that you just won their intellect. God's not looking to win men's intellect. God is looking to win men's heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the truth is that a person with an argument is always at the mercy of someone with an experience, someone who had an encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it's all about, because, you know, it's not about arguing and not about getting this debate. Because God wants us to live this life for him. He wants us to live this life for others. He wants us to glorify him in all that we do. And one of the ways we do that is by reaching out. And we're going to talk later in this program, because you're seeing a huge thing happening in America right now. It's happening all over the world. But things are changing. They're changing in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask any person, you can ask any child this day, and they can tell you, 10-year-old child can tell you that things are changing in our culture, in our society, in our country. And we're going to have a conversation later in the program today where we talk about the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of America. I mean, which one is more important, you know, and which one comes first? I mean, yes, we have a great country, but listen, it's about the kingdom of God. You know, in fact, let's talk about it now.
Yeah.
You know, the kingdom of God, God didn't call us as believers to be about the kingdom of America. Listen, America's a great country. We're celebrating Independence Week, Independence Day this week. You know, we have one of the greatest countries in the world, the greatest country in the world, and we have fantastic, awesome freedoms. But the truth is, as a believer, are we supposed to lift up America over the kingdom of God, or is it about the kingdom of God? When you think about it, 95% of Christians do not win one person. One person now.
Wow.
One soul. The Lord. They don't fight for one soul. Think about it. The Bible says he that wins souls is wise. Why would God fight with Americans when they decide to fight for their country? I mean, if we're not interested in fighting for God, if we're not interested for defending the cause of Christ, if we're not interested in standing for truth, and I'm not talking about arguing, I'm talking about living a life that glorifies God, honoring his word. I'm not talking about any of that other stuff. If we're not willing as believers, and I'm talking to the church, if we're not willing as believers to win a person to Jesus Christ, winning a person to Jesus Christ is not arguing at them. It's not beating them over the head with scriptures. It's not condemning them. You know, it's not any of those things. It's taking the time to get to know them, taking the time to really understand where people are coming from. Listen, we need to remember that we were lost once too. You know, the worst thing that could happen is for you to get away from your testimony and bury your testimony as if that, you know, and it, listen, that person, if Bible says any man be in Christ, old things pass away and all things become new, so that person's dead. But you don't want to forget where God brought you from.
Right.
You don't want to forget the stuff that you used to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't help you to relate to people. Part of relating to people and understanding people is to be able to walk in their shoes, is to understand what they're experiencing. And people today are feeling judged, they're feeling criticized. Like, there is no empathy. And I'm not talking about condoning sin or nothing like that, but it's like, you know, part of healing me is hearing me, understanding me, you know, and folks don't want to be preached down at, if you will, or, you know, condemned, but what they really want is the truth in love. You don't have to compromise the gospel, but you don't have to wield a sword out and just go nuts with it. You know, it's like, right, like the whole shaving principle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You can do a dry shave.
Yeah.
Some people don't like that. You can do a dry shave and it's nice and sharp on the skin. It can be a little rashy.
Yeah.
Or you can use some shaving cream or some oil, whatever else you use, and it could be a smoother. They both cut. They both get the job done. But one's an abrasive approach, and one is a smoother approach. And, you know, a one that could actually be received. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, it's huge because it's all about how it's presented, because you can say
the same thing two different ways,
and it comes across two completely different ways.
Exactly. It's almost like, I know that's the truth, but I just feel like I just got beat up right now. Yeah.
Like my mom used to say all the time when we were younger, says you can attract more flies with honey than you can with vinegar.
And she wouldn't know because she is so sweet. She really is. Wow. And it's true, you know, and the thing about it is that it's the truth in love. You got to think about what comes first, America or the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Listen, it's the kingdom of God if you're a believer. Mm-hmm. We live in America. We could have lived in China. We could have lived in, you know, Russia. We could have lived anywhere. But it's about the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. That's why we're here. We have a citizenship. We're dual citizens. We have a citizenship in heaven. And if you're an American, happens to be in America. Mm-hmm. But you're seeing oftentimes believers now lifting up America to the status of the kingdom of God. And it isn't. You know, you can have patriots, you know, support for the country and be a good patriot and love the country. That's great. That's wonderful. But it's about the kingdom of God. And listen, the hope for America, what makes America great is that America has sent out so many missionaries. So many missionaries have left America, the freedom to preach the gospel. And if we're praying for America to stand, it's only so that America can continue to reach the world, the kingdom of God continue to flourish, so that we can reach the world with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. We can't get it twisted. It's always about Jesus and his kingdom.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to BFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at bfntv.com.
What happens when the ACLJ wins a court case? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My question is, when you pursue litigation against the ACLU, do you go after punitive damages and reimbursement of legal expenses?
Well, no, that's a great question. In some cases, you're entitled to damages. In some cases, it's just an injunction, which is you're trying to get a law declared unconstitutional. But let me give you an example. In the RICO case, the National Organization for Women with the Plaintiffs, we were awarded in that case, we'll be awarded what's called costs. Now, the costs in a case like that are six figures. I mean, it's probably, you know, deposition fees and all this, probably a couple of $100,000. So you get costs. And sometimes you do get damages. It depends on the nature of the cases. So there are times when you will get a punitive damage verdict, but that depends really on the jury.
Learn more about the American Center for Law and Justice on our website at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words, you know? You can just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And we found out that the church is not a building. You know, we like buildings. I got a couple good friends that are buildings, you know? But the whole thing is that the church is people. You know, we're the building of God, that know ye not that Christ dwells in you. The hope of glory is inside of you. All these wonderful things that we talk about. But understanding this is that, you know, so when you begin to be the church and you're abiding with God and you're hearing him and you're operating in family, you know, you have brothers and sisters and fathers and mothers and the Lord and all this wonderful stuff. And it's just fun. You know, you just look for a time to go there. But you still have, you know, things you're dealing with. You're still in the same storm everybody else is in. You're still in the same nation. You're still in the same workplace. So you're having these pains and these struggles you're going through, and it's difficult, but yet it's encouraging that we have this. But, you know, John, I could only imagine how hard it is for somebody right now. If you're listening to us today and you don't have that relationship, I mean, you love Jesus, you know, you're born again, but you're in this whole, I don't know, the best way I can describe it is tradition, where, you know, men's philosophies and concepts and programs, but you're not in family. I mean, you can call things family. I mean, so many people call things family, but you know what family is. You don't have to call it family. It just is. And he's called us to be the family of God. And if you're going through all the same stuff that we're going through, but you're doing it outside of family, think about it. That's got to be horrific. I couldn't imagine Well, actually, I could, because I remember what it was like when I went, was going through that without having what God has done with us today in regards to family. Yeah, I mean, you might have had somebody that's friended you on Facebook, but, you know, just friending somebody does not mean that they're a friend. I mean, you think about it. If you had a, I know this, John. Remember when we went to help out with the hurricanes that happened in New Orleans?
Right.
And, you know, it was just horrific what happened, and still have scars today inside of our heart for what happened. It was so bad, couldn't fix it. And the crux of it really was in Waveland that was flattened, and then the waters, you know, busted in New Orleans and flooded. But, you know, the church didn't know each other, and they were scattered all over the place, and they couldn't find the church because there was no authentic family-type burdened relationship. So other parts of the church who didn't know the parts of the church come in and start helping everybody. But when we go back there, you remember when Pat and I had went back there, to the Lord sent us back to New Orleans, and we were talking to Leo DeJesus and Sandy, awesome man and woman of God. And Leo, if you're listening today, Sandy, if you're listening today, we love you. You guys are so encouraging to us. And he has this wonderful upper room in his house that overlooks the Mississippi, looking right on the city of New Orleans. It's the city he's in is Gretna. He's in Gretna, overlooking the Mississippi. And he said that, but the pastors left the church. They just left. The shepherds, they left, you know. And Jesus says that's a hireling. It's a hard, but I have empathy though for a leader of a traditional situation, because, you know, it goes both ways. You know, they don't have a relationship with you. You don't have a relationship with them. And the thing about family is you both have to invest.
That's right.
You know, but it's hard to do in that kind of setting. Well, I encourage you, if you haven't even thought about, you know, just walking out what God says in his word, that it's not foreign. It really is true. It's happening at the Vine Fellowship Network. It's actually happening. You can go to VFNfamily.org and find out more about it.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. Joining me back from the break is Pat and Steve. And we're talking about, listen, it's all about the kingdom of God. No matter what happens, we can't get it twisted. Kingdom of God first and America second. We can be proud Americans, but as believers, we must never forget that our citizenship is in heaven first, and that our mission is to glorify God and to reach the world for Jesus. No matter what happens to you, know, listen, nations come, nations go, kingdoms rise, kingdoms fall, but the kingdom of God will remain till the end. Till the end. You know, continuing in God's news behind the news, we've been talking extensively about what's been happening in the Middle East and what's been happening in Syria and how this is affecting Israel. And you're looking at, you know, a region of the country right now that is in complete and utter turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. 93,000 plus people. Listen, you're almost looking at 100,000 people that have been killed. They've died in this Syrian conflict, this civil war. They have refugees, people that are fleeing the country by the droves, and they're spilling over to different borders. I mean, mm-hmm. The king of Jordan has so many refugees. He said he gave a percentage, and he equated that percentage to what it would be like if Americans were to take that amount, and basically it came out to about 30 million. Mm-hmm. 30 million
wow.
people
wow.
that we would absorb, you know, proportionally speaking, based on the percentages of what his country received. They're mm-hmm. maxed. They can't take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's going on in Syria. And, you know, of course, we're talking about, you know, the Russians are getting involved and Iran is supporting Assad. And now you have the United States, according to President Obama, is supporting the rebels, mm-hmm. which is a Muslim Brotherhood there involved.
Mm-hmm.
But In Egypt, on the one-year anniversary, they just had a huge, I mean, thousands upon thousands of people protesting the new president, Mohamed Morsi, which was backed by the Muslim Brotherhood. And I heard someone's talking about this, and they talked about how a revolution has three phases. And the first phase of the revolution, as they were explaining it, involves, you know, all of these rebels and these folks that are fighting against each other to overthrow the government. And at that time, the president was Mubarak.
Mm-hmm.
And the army was very supportive of him at that time, and he stayed in power for quite a long time. You know, right. Egypt receives $1.6 billion from the United States.
Right.
It's a whole other story. Plus, mm-hmm. they got tanks and all that stuff we've given them. But the first phase is that out of these rebels, somebody will emerge. And phase two is they take control of the government. Mm-hmm. And what happened there was that the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, they rose up out of that group there that was that rabble that was going back and forth, and their government came to power. Of course, mm-hmm. our president, if you remember, was supportive of the Muslim Brotherhood, and in Cairo, Egypt, his first international speech, invited the Muslim Brotherhood to his speech. Mm-hmm. Allegedly, they've been invited to the White House, and Mubarak was not even welcome, did not come to the speech, and it wasn't long after that he was completely toppled. And the man is dead today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're talking about former president of Egypt, Mubarak. Mm-hmm. So the Muslim Brotherhood has been in power, okay, in Egypt for a year. Well, guess what? The people have taken to the streets. They've taken to the streets, and they're quoted as saying now in the blaze, "You lie to us in the name of religion." They're chanting with signs, homemade signs. One woman has a picture of Morsi with an X and a shoe, like kind of pushed against his head.
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing up. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Crowds, including women and children. And they're wearing homemade body armor and construction hats as helmets. I mean, this is getting very, very serious. And they've given Morsi now. They're giving Morsi an ultimatum. Now, this the third phase. The third phase is basically who is eventually going to emerge,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
who is going to emerge as the ultimate leader of Egypt, and who's going to take control. Well, the big question over the weekend was, where is the army going to support? Who's the army going to put their support under? Mm-hmm. It appears that the army is going to be supporting the rebels here, and they're looking to topple Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood.
Really?
They're looking top. CBN's reporting on it. We want you to listen up. We'll be right back.
Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi says he will not step down despite an ultimatum by the Egyptian military to do so. The military says it will intervene in Egypt's political crisis if Morsi doesn't, quote, meet the people's demands. Protesters have stormed and burned the headquarters of the Muslim Brotherhood, and some worry that a civil war is possible. Chris Mitchell has the story.
Egyptian state TV broadcast the army's ultimatum. It read in part, if the people's demands are not achieved before the agreed period of time, then it is the duty of the military to announce a roadmap for the future. The anti-Morsi demonstrators welcomed the army's announcement.
We're very happy here. We never lost confidence in our army. We've always trusted that our army will be with us. We're very proud, we're very happy, we're very proud of Egyptians. The Egyptians made it.
Morsi supporters fear the army is poised to take over.
It's clear that the army is planning a coup. The army must support the legitimacy of the president and the legitimacy of the constitution.
Since Sunday, millions of Egyptians have poured into the streets to demand Morsi leave office. One commentator called them the biggest mass demonstrations in human history. After 1 year in office, they say Morsi has put the goals of the Muslim Brotherhood ahead of the good of Egypt. Some say the current crisis puts the Muslim Brotherhood at a crossroads.
Next step for the Brotherhood is one of two choices, either to revert to violence and then they will suffer for the next, I don't know how many years for that decision, or just decide to keep it peaceful and respond to the people's demands, and then maybe we're looking forward for national reconciliation between all of us.
U.S. President Barack Obama, who was visiting several African nations, called for restraint and compromise on both sides. Yet many opposition members accused the Obama administration of helping the Muslim Brotherhood come to power. What the army will do when the 48-hour ultimatum expires remains to be seen. Organizers of the mass demonstration say if Morsi does not step down, they'll intensify their campaign, including civil disobedience. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Jerusalem.
You got to see the crowds. We're going to make this available for you on the torch, but you're talking about thousands. Mm-hmm. I don't have a final number for you, but I mean, the picture we're going to put on the torch here for you, it shows like crowds that would fill up the Washington Monument. I mean, they're you know, oh, wow, that whole mall, that mall area.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge, huge amount of crowds. And they're saying, the reporter is saying that, listen, no, their tourism is destroyed. They can't feed themselves. I mean, everything has gone down in just 1 year.
Mm.
And this is the same government now, the same government that was really supported by the president of the United States. Listen, mm-hmm, this is not going to be good. You can be looking at another civil war on the other side of Israel.
Yeah.
In the Middle East, we really need to continue to pray for this area, because you're looking at, this is a strategy here. There's a plan. There is a storm that's brewing,
yeah,
and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about that today, about a storm brewing.
Mm.
But this is so important. You're looking at serious, serious times, mm, and I truly believe that this is the tipping point. This is a huge tipping point, because these people are not going to stay silent.
Mm-mm.
You have that much turmoil going on. Now, at the same side, you want to see how evil all of this is, how horrific. It's being reported. It's being reported. Unfortunately, we wouldn't even show you this video. But in the Syrian conflict, which is on the other side of Israel, the eastern side of Israel, Egypt is more on the bottom, the south side of and they share a long border with Egypt, with Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Syria, the terrorists there who are being supported now, the anti Assad fighters.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, those folks, there is a video that has been posted, you're not going to believe this, of a Catholic priest who was publicly beheaded. The New York Daily News is reporting that a Catholic priest has been publicly beheaded by Syrian terrorists after accusations of collaborating with President Bashar Assad's regime.
Wow.
I mean, there's press. The press is all surrounding this scene. They show part of the video, but right up above, you know, right before this is going to happen, the man's about to get his head cut off, they censored the video. I'm glad they did. It's horrific. But this is horrible. This is horrible. This is what this looks like. And our administration is supporting rebels. What is this? Not to mention, not too long ago, about a week ago, there was another video that circulated of a terrorist in Syria, the rebels, that literally cut the heart out, or liver, an organ out of one of the person that they captured, and actually attempted to eat it. This is what's being supported,
yeah,
by this administration. It's like, listen, we don't want to be even get involved in this here. This is not what we need to be doing. And you're looking at Israel's enemies. It's just a talk about strife and confusion and chaotic. It is a dust pool out there.
Yeah.
And we really need to continue to pray for the Egyptian Christians right now that have come under persecution. Mm-hmm. We need to pray for Christians in Iran that are coming under great persecution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Christians in Syria that have been persecuted. I mean, these folks have been running out of Syria. Listen, we really want to stand strong, and we really want to pray. But this is a very, very serious, serious time. Pray for the Christians in Egypt, and pray that the right government gets established. But when you see these crowds of people on the one-year anniversary, 1 year is nothing. I mean, it's nothing in terms of time. And it seems like Egypt has gone completely downhill.
Yeah.
And it's the Muslim Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. It's the Muslim Brotherhood. And I go back to one of the women that were quoted in this Blaze article, says, "You lied to us in the name of religion." And they were supporting their religion and getting that out. And, of course, the goal is Sharia. And it's destroying. It's destroying them. Listen, stay vigilant, stay alert, stay prayerful, because a storm is brewing. And we want to be on the right side of the storm. We want to be able to be there to warn people and to encourage people to turn to the Lord. If you're listening to us in Egypt, we're praying for you. We're believing God's best for you and Syria and the Middle East.
We'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget you can visit us at VFNTV.com.
Well, you know, John, I was just thinking about, you know, how important it is that when you get you're walking with God and you've been abiding with God, and all of a sudden God's calling you to the next level. And we're looking around today when we're actually talking this moment, and there's just, we don't like to think about it, but there is a religious spirit. There's a religious spirit. You know, we don't like to say it too much because it's so prominent. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, if you say it too loud, the people are going to start thinking maybe I have it, you know? I being them. And, you know, I mean, people are literally telling people by the forcefulness of the spirit on them. They might not say anything, but the forcefulness of it, and Satan's interpreting it that way. Satan's making people interpret that way, and they're believing the accuser, saying that, you know, you're not qualified. You're not good enough to be a protector of God's people, a shepherd, a preacher, wow. A minister of the gospel. You know, and minister means servant, by the way. I mean, we've totally, oh yeah, it doesn't mean, you know, et cetera. You know, it just means you're just servant. And so they're basically, you know, Satan's saying, you know, the lie is from this religious spirit is that you're not good enough to be a servant. Is that crazy? Mm-hmm. You know?
So true, though. So true.
It is. And so what's being said by this religious spirit is you got to get to my level. If you get to my level, then you can do what I'm doing.
Right.
And it's like, but you're trying to kill me right now, you know, in what you're doing. And we're just trying to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. And every time somebody begins to stir for God in your city, you immediately just snuff them out. And you don't even see that you snuffed them out.
Wow.
You know, we don't need to get that smart. That's a little too smart. You know, when we actually we think that you know, we can stop, you know, we have a place that we can actually stop what God's doing, God's moving someone's heart, that type of thing. It's a religious spirit. It's what it is. You know, it's a religious spirit. And so,
Well, great. Think about this. Yes. Think about the disciples. Mm-hmm. I mean, would they even be qualified under the religious spirit this day? Jesus just told Peter, "Do you love me?"
Right.
If you love me, feed my sheep.
Right, right.
Feed.
Right. That's exactly it. You know, and that was the word that God gave me when he called me out to be a pastor at one time in my ministry. It was, if you love me, just feed them. Three times he told me, just like he told Peter, you know, feed them. And of course, the first thing we think is everybody knows. But when you start moving in God and you start hearing what he's saying and you get trained up in the things of God, and that's what we're talking about. We're talking about VF and you. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University, that you need to get not trained up in religion. You don't need to get trained up in how to meet some hierarchy, because a servant of God is about humility and is finding out how low can I go? How dependent can I be on God? How close can I get to zero so that Jesus can be my hero? You know what I'm saying? He can begin to do all this work through me, right?
It's not about an oratorical gift or nothing like that.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, Paul said, you know, when I come to you, I make sure, even though I can do something, I can come to you with enticing words. He says, I'm very cautious that I don't do that. And it's been done so much to, I know a lot of people in America, that they're not satisfied unless somebody gives them some oratorical expounding on the whatever, you know? And it's like, you know, I'm going to make you, you know, I won't show me fruit. I'm not gonna stimulate you that way. I'm gonna talk to you and have a conversation with you. And if you want to find out more about just serving God, you know, just knowing more about Him, joining the family, God, finding out, you know, how does the family function? How can you have government in family? I mean, you know, so often we're bringing the world's government into the church, and it's just not that way. And so you can find out more about that if you're interested. Just go to vfnu.org. Don't be intimidated by that religious spirit. The very thing that's on them that's trying to stop you is evidence that God has called you and has a plan for your life. Don't let the enemy stop you. Go to vfnu.org today.
Welcome back. VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the studio is Pat and Steve. And back from the break, we're just talking about what's happening in Egypt. Listen, this is amazing. I mean, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people, Egyptians, protesting the Muslim Brotherhood's government, Morsi, who's been propped up as the president there, who took sweeping powers not too long ago.
Yeah.
They're saying it's not working. They're saying and quoted as saying, you lied to us in the name of religion. Their economy is totally destroyed. They're suffering all these other setbacks. And they're saying, listen, it's over. And this is the same government, don't forget, that was supported by our president. And it's like, look, we need to support. We need to support those forms of government that are going to be supportive to our only ally and friend,
That's right.
Israel.
Right.
When I was in Israel in Jerusalem, I was so, overjoyed. You know, I didn't expect this really, but it was some time ago when I was in Israel, and I was in Jerusalem, and they have all these shops and stuff, and I'm just kind of walking around there for a little bit, and in kind of the market area. It was pretty cool. And I'm looking at this leather type of bag. It's a satchel, brown, like handmade bag. It was really, really nice, and it had Jerusalem stamped across the, like, one of the parts of the bag. It's leather impressed or whatever. And the shopkeeper comes up to me and says, he takes the word, he looks at Jerusalem, and right in the middle of Jerusalem, he says, USA.
Oh, wow.
I never saw that before, and I said, oh, wow. He says, yes, we stand with USA, because USA stands with us.
Wow.
And I said, wow, man. And he, I mean, I didn't have anything that said I was a Christian or whatever, or just, but they love those that stand with them. They're their only allies. And when you have enemies that are surrounding you and are wanting and are openly saying they wanted to destroy you and wipe you off the face of the earth, we can't do that. We can't stand for that. And so as believers and as a country, we want to support our allies and our friends and not support any government in the Middle East or anywhere in the world for that matter that is wants to take our enemies out. Allies used to mean something. You know, when the countries were allies, that used to mean something. That means if you mess with them,
you're messing with us.
You're messing with us.
Yeah.
And we are to a certain extent. But we have seen, especially in the last several years, and in particular in this administration, we have seen that support change like never before. And, you know, not too long ago, the president actually visited Egypt, and we talked about his speech. And the first 35 minutes of the speech, we couldn't believe what was said. It was so awesome and amazing and affirming. You can hear our emotions and our excitement as we're just talking about, you know, almost line by line, some of the glowing things that were said. But towards the second half of the speech, it was completely, it just erased everything that could have said.
Yeah.
And it was about stirring up the young people. And you realize that he actually did not even go to the Knesset, turned down the opportunity to speak to the government leaders in Israel, instead chose to speak to the young people and incite them. And you're thinking, wow.
Yeah.
Listen, careful with the apple of God's eye, and careful in your diplomacy when it comes to Israel. And we need to keep an eye on the Middle East and what's happening around and remain prayerful. You know, as we come to the end of the first hour, we've been sharing really, and it's almost like every week, at least for the last several weeks and several times, we've been sharing here lately about how God's been answering our prayers. And I am blown away. I am excited. But we've been praying a simple prayer: dear God, end abortion, send revival, and we're seeing a wave across the country of God answering our prayers. Is this started with, you know, in Florida, they signed the Baby Alive Bill 1129 that would rescue, make it law that you have to rescue a baby that was born under a botched abortion, and they have the right to live. Right. That was signed in Florida, and it was a powerful, powerful bill. In Wisconsin, there was another bill, another law that was signed that made it mandatory for a woman that was going to have an abortion. She needed to first have an ultrasound so that she would have full disclosure of what was inside of her. Because, you know, you have abortionists, I want to call them doctors, abortionists, who were telling women and telling young girls that they have a tissue in them. And not a baby, not a fetus. And we saw, and if you missed yesterday's program, there's a video. There's a video of what a baby looks like 20 weeks in the womb. That's half the pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have, you know, nervous system. They can feel pain. Mm-hmm. They can hear a sound. It's amazing. You got to see this. But this happened in Wisconsin. In Texas, they are looking. Governor Perry just called a special session, another one. Mm-hmm. Call them all back, all the lawmakers there,
mm-hmm.
for another 30-day session where they're going to, according to Governor Perry and Lieutenant Governor Dewhurst, pass this abortion ban after 20 weeks that would, they're saying, the opponents would close down almost 32 out of the 40-some-odd abortion clinics in Texas.
Wow.
And they're getting ready to vote on it again because Wendy Davis and the opponents with the filibuster, you know, the time ran out and they weren't able to just put the, you know, get it passed. They had the votes and everything. Well, they're saying it's going to happen now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I got breaking news for you. In Ohio, the governor approves strict abortion provisions. Wow. This is what's being reported by the Christian Post, and they say that while the battle over abortion limits continue in Texas, Ohio Governor John Kasich, a Republican, signed into law Sunday evening a set of strict abortion restrictions as part of the state's budget.
Wow.
I mean, you got to listen to this. I couldn't believe my eyes when I'm saying this. I mean, there's a wave. I mean, I can believe it, but it's just so encouraging to see what's happening all across the country and the bold moves that our representatives, they're voting the will of the people.
Mm-hmm.
People are waking up when they see what happened in this Gosnell case and they saw that this man went to jail.
And they're seeing hope.
They're seeing hope. The staffers are coming out. They're falling under conviction. They've, you know, have been lied to and told all these different things. This is a really, really serious thing. Additionally, they're reporting that the measures provide state funding to health clinics that don't provide abortions. So they're saying, listen, if you don't provide abortions, we're going to put some of that budget, you know, towards your clinic. The abortion provision signed on Sunday basically was part of a $62 billion budget they were trying to pass. And I'll tell you what, I mean, it passed. It made Ohio one of the strictest anti-abortion states in the country.
Wow.
In the country. And this is really getting a lot of people's attention, and God's answering our prayer. I mean, our prayer is, dear God, end abortion, send revival in the extra hour. You don't want to miss it because we're definitely going to be talking about revival and what revivals have meant to this country. You don't want to miss it, but it's happening, and this is really an exciting, powerful time in our nation's history because we're seeing a pendulum that's swinging back since 1973, 50-plus million abortions.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing it happen.
You think about it, now that we're seeing such a movement and a response, some people might begin to think, well, I guess I don't need to keep praying because God's responding. But now is the time to pray that much more vigilant and focused to end abortion because we are seeing a response.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Powerful.
Yeah, no doubt. They're saying that some of the other contested provisions or basically will force many of... they say the strictness could force as many as 12 abortion clinics to close automatically.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And it's just an amazing, amazing thing that has happened. And we want to continue. Like Steve said, you want to pray. You don't want to dial back, but you want to dial forward. And you're seeing some really amazing things. And not only that, but it seems like other states are getting on board. They're expecting... new laws to come out of the state of Mississippi,
Amen.
Alabama, and Arkansas. And we say, come on,
Beautiful.
Let's see the wave happen where we begin to honor life again and we stop the 3,000 some odd killings, abortions of are happening every day, two every minute. And not only let's see this bloodshed stop before God, let's turn our hearts to Him as a nation, believers, Christians. And let's see revival, revival spread all across this country.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You are disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is, you need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other. We're family. Did you know that God has called us to be family? We're called to be the family of God. It's Father God. It's not like King God. It's Father God. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is our elder brother. Yes, he's our Lord and our Savior. But he's the firstborn. He's the head of the church. He's our elder brother. We are not... We're heirs of God, not heirs of Jesus. We're joint heirs with Jesus.
That's right.
We're family. We're sisters and brothers. That's why we're supposed to love each other. The family of God. I remember Jesus was sitting around with his disciples in a house, by the way, and he's teaching them about the things of God. Mm-hmm. And his biological mother, Mary, and brother comes to the house, and they're knocking on the outside of the door, and they said, and of course, they're talking to each other. Mary and her son's talking and says, oh, my goodness, Jesus has lost his mind. They really thought Jesus lost his mind.
That's right.
They lost his mind, and he hasn't eaten. He's been a long time since he's eaten. We need to go rescue him. We need to rescue him from his ministry because he's lost his mind. Don't you know this is supposed to happen in a temple, not in a house? And this goes on. And then Jesus, of all the things he said, this is very important, he said, you know, somebody comes out and said, yo, your mom was outside, you know, and yo, sir, no, yo, your mom's outside. And so Jesus stops and he pauses. He looks at the disciples and he's talking to them. He says, listen, let me tell you who the family of God is. Mm. Let me tell you who my mother and my brother is. Those who do the will of my Father. Yes. Oh, more than anything, you want your biological family to follow God. But the truth is you have no control over them. You tell them the truth, and you honor their decision. Listen, the true family of God is those who follow his teachings, that have a desire to follow Jesus. See, the church is a family. Get into your, right now where you're at, in your fellowship. Say, listen, we need to start being family.
Mm-hmm.
And if people just still relate to you like sand, like organizations, like an orphanage, you know, just get your food, sit down, shut up, don't know nobody. Listen, find a fellowship that functions as family. Maybe Vine Fellowship Network's for you. Maybe there's a church in your area. Maybe God has planted in your heart. So you know what? I want to begin this in my own city. Check it out. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.